Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us on Facebook, of course, at stevejonesshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. Sean Carey with you. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio
as we speak.
You are in.
Yes, I'm here.
You are.
I am. I'm ready to take a... You know, the odd thing is about the prediction segment. Is that on the TV show I do?
Mm-hmm.
We do a prediction segment.
Right.
I'm in first place. I'm 23-9. I didn't even know until they put it up because we taped the show yesterday. They put it up. I said, "You're kidding me."
This prepares you for that.
Not really. Not really.
Yes, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. We will have KJ at 4:35 as we dive into our Week 9 picks.
Yes. Actually, I have a game tonight, Pitt and Virginia Tech tonight. And then the Titanic Titans-Jags game.
Yeah.
Last year was a shootout. It was entertaining. The fourth quarter was great.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter was great.
Just got to get past those color rush jerseys.
Oh, are they wearing those tonight?
I'm assuming, really? Yeah. Yeah. I remember last year, Tennessee had like powder blue top and bottom, and Jacksonville had gold.
It was
golden spicy brown mustard top and bottom.
I mean, it looked like a Golden's mustard bottle. Like, okay, great. Let it rip. Get a Fenway Frank. Here we go.
Question is, speaking of Jacksonville, possibility would Gus, if they lose tonight, would Gus Bradley's job be in jeopardy? Could he be the first NFL coach to be shown the door during the season?
Not high in my caring scale. And that's the problem Jacksonville has. And they're playing another London game this week. You know what? They need to take care of business here instead of messing around all the time everywhere else but here. You need to take care of business here. They're not doing a good job of taking care of business here.
Now, to the best of my knowledge, the owner of the Jags, he either still does or used to own Fulham, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the,
true.
Former. They're not in the Premier League this year. They didn't qualify this year, but.
See, that's the difference between the Premier League and here. Could you imagine they take the Tennessee Titans and relegate them? The Jacksonville Jaguars relegate the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Congratulations, you'll be a farm club next year.
I mean, could you imagine that? That's one of the areas of MLS that completely confuses. Because there are a lot of people in Great Britain, and I read this article. Now, naturally, I read it in an airline magazine. For some odd reason, I was traveling at the time.
Imagine that.
And it had a story on, I don't know, what was it? It may have been, I think we were flying United at the time. And this is like, I don't know, it was last winter I was reading it. And there are a lot of fans in England of the MLS because some of the former Premier League players have come over here to play. you know, some of them a little older, whatever. And so they are fans of those players, and they're watching them play. What confuses them is if Toronto FC has a bad year, they don't get relegated. It's like, okay. They don't relegate them. So next year they just go out and they try to get themselves better and keep playing, as opposed to the Premier League where they relegate teams. You're not good, you're out. Wasn't Leicester City relegated a few years ago?
They were.
And then they won the Premier League title last year.
Yeah, it was 2 years prior to that they weren't in the top 20. Yeah. Yeah, they were struggling near the bottom. Then the following year was, well, as the rest they say, is history.
Well, you don't lose your team. They just force you to play in a lesser league.
Yeah. One step down, yes. Right.
It's like the Minnesota Twins suddenly playing in the American Association.
And if I got it right, there's four levels of soccer in England. So, yeah.
And suddenly the Minnesota Twins are playing in the International League against the Pawtucket Red Sox. Fabulous. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs get moved up. Really?
Yeah, Leicester has already surpassed their loss count compared to the entire season last year. It's definitely tough to replicate and be back-to-back champs in the top level for sure.
I think they're being taken a little more seriously than they did last year.
Yeah.
When they take you a little more seriously.
Well, that and the fact they lost one of their top players who moved from Leicester over to Chelsea.
I hate when that
happens.
Made
this guy happen. Made this guy really happy.
Is he playing well for you?
Very well. Scored a goal against Man U. Ecstatic. Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to work myself into an emotional lather. Yeah. All right. So we got our high school roundtable coming up today. KJ's coming up at 4:35. Is senior night. Again, yesterday's poll was remarkable. 2,712 respondents. 2,708 said that it was for the players. 4 said it was for the parents. Oh, stop laughing.
We thank everybody for taking part.
Yeah, whomever did. Did we ever get any suit reaction to the poll?
Did not. Very quiet today. Haven't seen him around.
Are there any matinees over at the... It used to be the running joke with 30 years ago, salespeople. What movie did you see today?
Wakeman says he's in hiding. Draw your own conclusion there.
I just so many things I could say.
I know.
please. Oh, well.
Thursday is normally my nose to the grindstone kind of day, so it's not that I was out trying to find him anyway. So.
Yeah. Okay. I hope people know that we were just having a lot of fun yesterday.
We were
having a lot of fun. And Wakeman voted 2,700 times.
I was gonna ask for her perspective. I know she has a daughter right now in cross country, but she's not a senior this year. So,
I mean. Look, senior night's emotional for the parents. I mean, it's all sorts of levels in life, obviously. And one of them is when you get to, if you're you happen to be a student athlete at high school and you get to your senior day, it's obviously emotional for the parents. You know, they've driven you to all the practices. They've listened to you tell you how great their day was or how lousy their day was, and you've tried to give them verse.
Everything my children do, it's all about me. Quote, unquote, Jennifer Wakeman.
Now that I can understand.
Yeah.
Okay,
she's a proud mom.
The suit, no. So, yeah, that's but in the end, I mean, still, they're the ones that actually do practice. They're the ones that do play. It's also, by the way, here's the other part, too. It's also an emotional night for everybody involved in the band. Senior band members, senior cheerleaders, senior color guard. I mean, you know, a lot of things. Now, the other part that is great, and I've heard this from several people in Danville, is it's the last game the suit's going to be in the stands, and they're really, really looking forward to that. So for them, it's kind of an emancipation night, too. Jennifer Wakeman, it's all about me. It's all about me. We'll come back.
And Minnie Suit, also a band member, so he'll be playing one more time tomorrow night.
Yes, he is. No, but I'm saying, but it's emotional for everybody, you know. That's the last time your child is going to be out there playing in the band at halftime or postgame or whatever. I mean, you're going to miss those nights. You're going to miss those nights. Now, I never once missed those evenings where I had to pick them up from practice. I never missed those. Sorry, the last time that came, I was like, yeah, all right, good. But the games, yeah. Yeah, I went to all their games. I don't care if they were playing JV or varsity. I went to all of them. So it worked out well. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin coming up tonight. The first part of the show will be ice hockey coach Guy Gadowski. And shout out to ESPN's John Buchagras, who on Saturday night after the big Penn State football win specifically made sure everybody knew about Penn State's hockey victory over Notre Dame. Penn State tied third-ranked Notre Dame on Friday night 3-3, then beat them in overtime on Saturday night. They've got Canisius coming in here tomorrow and Saturday, each time they're dropping the puck at 7 o'clock at Pagula Ice Arena. It begins a 10-game homestand for Penn State. So Guy Gadowski will be on the show tonight as well. So that's what's coming up from 6:05 to 7 following the Jennifer Wakeman News Hour. See, now I'm just giving her total ownership of it.
Oh, she's already she's already rebranded that in her mind last year.
I mean, look, the bottom line is, look, the last time I didn't even mention she was doing it, right?
She says, thank you.
I might as well have been crawling under barbed wire trying to get to the finish line after I made that mistake. So now we've just branded it the entire Jennifer Wakeman News Hour. Now, at this point, I feel like I'm out of the proverbial outhouse.
You're clear.
For the moment,
right. I'll buys you a little more time than that.
I'll make another mistake here at some point, I'm sure, which will open the door to the dark room, I'm sure, and expose all the film. All right.
Yeah, it could be where it could be the entire after. It could be the entire afternoon with Jennifer Wakeman featuring Steve Jones.
I'm just glad that I was able to get a couple of hours of her valuable time.
Me too.
So, So that's coming up. High school roundtable next half hour. And we'll talk to our announcers about the various games. So, senior night across the board. But what really struck me, though, I'm going to say this in all seriousness, is the suit really does believe that it, like, this is more about him. Right?
Yeah.
Like, no. Part of it is, I mean, you're the parent, you know, you love your child, the whole thing, everything you've done, you've sacrificed and so forth. Yeah, I get all that stuff. But part of being a parent is that you, the moments where they're supposed to be first, you let them be first. You know? I mean, I can just see them now. They introduce Mini Suit, and the suit throws him out of the way and just starts waving to the crowd. what are we doing here? Yeah, thank you, thank you. It's all thank you so much. It's all about me. Sit down. And then the crowd starts chanting, "Mini Suit, Mini Suit." I'm telling you, he's gonna toss him out of the way and like take all the glory. I'm telling you. And people are going, "Are you playing?" No. But he really thinks that this thing is really about him. When a part of it's about him. A part of it is. There's no doubt that it's for a parent it's a big deal. But you also have to learn to step back a little bit and let them have their shining moment here. I think. He was adamant with you about it yesterday. You didn't. You sat back and like, well, you're trying to think about when you put the cat first. I know that.
Right.
It's a little difficult for you to relate.
Yeah.
It's between the cat and me. It really is about me. Yeah, it's about parents, too. Again, you make all these sacrifices and so forth to get them there.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the situation tomorrow night if he has, like, the Bluetooth speaker and he has, like, one shining moment playing when the big moment happens.
Look, I'm telling you right now, they're going to throw him out. They're going to throw get out of here. Security escorts him out.
That's just not good. Well, then he could be on his way to Charleston Southern a little quicker than anticipated. Yeah. So then he won't miss the red eye.
Oh, that flight's not happening. You and I both know that. Doug's like, I'm going to be doing that broadcast alone. I know that feeling. So, yeah, well. All right. So I talked to Jack today. We've settled on Bruno's for the restaurant.
As per Tim Newton. All right.
Yes, we've settled on that. We talked today. He says, "I don't have to bring my wallet at all, do I?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm going to be late going back to the hotel." He said, "Why is that?" I said, "It's a lot of dishes for me to wash." I suggested to him that that it looks like they have a great kids menu. That didn't fly too well. Oh, high school roundup next half hour. Great to have you with us today. We're having a lot of fun. And we'll talk about some great high school football coming up tomorrow night that you hear in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 13, 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, the suit did text me here. And several... Here we go. Here's the suit. "So this is all about you." He says, "It's about the pride I have in the kid making 4 years.
I get to walk in the field with the boy to show him how proud I am of him. I may tear up, but I said, well, don't toss him out of the way and start waving to the crowd. And he says, never, the night's all about him. Oh, now it's about him. Okay, yeah, right.
More of a pride factor. Well, we'll find out if he has a GoPro camera attached to his cap and he runs it on Facebook Live tomorrow night. So.
Oh, I can just see it now.
There you go, Periscope, yeah.
I just want to tell you, it's one of the many benefits of being out of town. All right, so. Oh, boy. So it's gone from its now there's this admission where the night's all about him. That's not what you've been telling us all week. I mean even Wakeman stopped listening to him, and she's compassionate. All right, let's get to it because there's a lot going on. We got this day in sports history first. And then we're going to follow it up by talking to our announcers, who will do their usual outstanding job coming up tomorrow night. It was on this date in 1986 that the Mets beat the Red Sox in the World Series in Game 7 following the debacle in Game 6. But that's okay, because in 2004 the Red Sox made up for it and made everybody forget about it and won the 2004 World Series on this date. In 2004. So it's all about them. All right, let's get to it here. Milton is going to take on Shikellamy. And Steve Williams is going to join us first. Steve, welcome. Thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good to be back.
All right, there's 22 players on this team. Obviously, not all 22 are going to make it through healthy. So what did they do practice-wise to try and be as ready as possible for any game when you have limited numbers like that?
Well, I'll tell you, you know it's got to be tough because you probably should have 22 just for your offense anyway. You can only beat your heads against each other so much. They started this season off with 35 because of defections, grade issues, injuries. They've gotten down to that 22. But you know what? It's the toughest 22 that started out the season.
Okay, so when you look at the seniors on this team, they've had to persevere a lot. How much respect do you have for them that they went out day in and day out, practiced it, and then played it?
Oh, absolutely. Just a great amount of respect for these kids that kept coming out and. There's some guys that they got out this year that probably would have helped if they would have been out the two previous years. They've got guys that have been out playing since they were freshmen. You know, as I look through the starting lineup, Javi Rodriguez is going out. Brent Engelman has played as well as anybody could expect that young man to play. Keon Williams, who came out this season, Eric Wilt, and Mason Whitmire in the backfield. Josh Wagner was a kid that came out this year that got his knee blown out in the first game and didn't get to play, but he's there every week on the crutches supporting the team. You can't say it enough for those kids. The lessons learned in sports is you can't learn it in the classroom, and those guys have learned them, that's for sure.
Any young players to you that stand out that might be building blocks down the road?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Quarterback Phil Davis, just a sophomore. That kid can throw the ball standing flat-footed, 50 yards, and he can throw a rope. He has got tremendous arm strength for a young man. He put on a good 30 pounds of muscle over the summer. He's quick. He's learning his reads. He's really developed nicely this year. The other guy that we've really kept an eye on, too, is freshman Tim Spradley. Now, Spradley has played linebacker. They list him at 155, but he's not that big. But he has played very well defensively. He's Davis's backup quarterback, and probably the arm not as strong as what Davis's is, but he runs the offense very well. They've got a couple other kids coming back, Kamar Bradley. Will be probably the main running back next year. They've got to find a big guy. They haven't had that big guy all year long, and their running game has really suffered. But those are some of the guys that I look for to kind of lead the way next year for them. Also, Jaleel Garrison who is in the backfield. So, you know, those are guys that are going to come back, and you know, they got lumped up, so they're going to be ready to lump some people up too.
Steve, always a pleasure. Great job all season long, by the way. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, yeah, thank you very much. And I'll tell you what a great game on Saturday. Really enjoyed your call on the that interception for the touchdown. What a tremendous football game.
Yeah, Steve, thanks. Appreciate that. Steve's going to be on 1380 Talk Radio WMLP with the Milton broadcast. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, it'll be the Shikellamy broadcast with Mike Ferlazzo. Mike, you've had a great season. Appreciate all your hard work. Okay, now you get to this one right here. All right, so give me the stakes for Shikellamy in this, regardless of opponent.
Well, the stakes are that Shikellamy really needs a win right now. I mean, they're coming off that 35-15 loss to Loyal Sock last week, so they're kind of limping in here at 5-4, and it kind of looks like their playoff scenario is set. It appears as if the Braves are going to be the number 3 seed in District 4 Class Quad A, regardless of the outcome, unless Jersey Shore would somehow get upset by Central Mountain, which means they're going to be going on the road. But here's the thing, if you're the Braves you're looking at, you get a chance to maybe get well here in this game against Milton. I mean, obviously, you just talked to Steve, only 22 players on the team, really struggling at 0-9. You know, and Schick can come in here and kind of build some confidence to the playoffs. And when they get to the playoffs, they're going to be probably playing either Jersey Shore or Selins Grove in that first round semifinal. They beat Selins Grove, and they probably should have beat Jersey Shore, losing 19-13 in a game where they had 4 turnovers, 1 return for a touchdown, and blew a 13-0 lead. The other team in the field will probably be Athens. So if you're Shikellamy, you're looking at this as a chance to get 6 wins in the regular season, which, by the way, would equal the most wins under Todd Tilford in his 5 years, and then also get a little bit of confidence and momentum back going into the playoffs, and maybe also get some guys back healthy, which will be big too.
No question about it, and building momentum is important. When you look at how they've played here the last 2 weeks, what are the positives the last 2 weeks, Mike? What have been the negatives?
Well, I can definitely tell you the positives is that Gabe Tilford keeps playing as well as ever. I mean, he's now 108 yards away from 1,000 yards on the season, still averaging around 7 yards per carry. He's got 10 touchdowns rushing, another one through receiving, and so that's certainly been a positive. I think the other thing is they really have relied a little bit more on Tate Krankowski throwing the ball. I know he threw a touchdown pass last week to Trey Cunningham, one of the seniors on the team, and certainly that's been impressive for them too. And you know, they continue to force turnovers. Even though they lost to Loyal Sock last week, they did force a couple more turnovers, so give them 27 on the year for that defense, 13 by fumble and 14 by interception. But the negative is they are giving up a little bit more yardage on the ground than they're used to. They really did not play well defensively a week ago against Loyal Sock. Gave up 312 yards on the ground, a defense that's only giving up 152 on the season coming into that game. So that's been something that, and they really have to right that ship a little bit. And just making mistakes. They're turning the ball over a little bit more and obviously having a few more penalties too. So that's really hurt them. And so now they get a chance maybe to get some players back and play a good game and again, build for the playoffs where, as you know, Steve, everybody's 0-0 again once you get into the playoffs.
Right, no question about that. The key to this game really just getting out early.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those weeks where Shikellamy's focusing more on themselves than they are the opponent. I think, you know, they ran a lot of base stuff at practice. I saw when I was out on Tuesday, Milton actually runs the same offense. Matter of fact, George Goodwin, the Milton head coach, was Todd Tilford's defensive coordinator when he was at Lewisburg. So they're basically a mirror image of Shikellamy and a lot of things that they do. So they don't really have to worry as much about preparing for the opponent because they know it every day at practice. And the opponent obviously is struggling a little bit. So I think Shikellamy says, we come into this game, we really focus on what we do and do it well and execute our stuff. We should win the game. So I think that's the focus coming into this game. Of course, you don't know what the weather is going to be and that kind of thing. And I think, you know, getting off to a great start and, you know, putting one on Milton early and maybe getting another one before the end of the first quarter, then, you know, the Black Panthers don't have any upset on their minds. That's really the thing that they have to do.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck with it tomorrow night. Appreciate it.
Steve, and I echo the thoughts earlier about the call in the Ohio State game. What a great win for Penn State, and it was great to hear you on the call.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Mike Filaz will have the call. Shikalimi on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sealands Grove, Southern Columbia, Eagle 107, Pat O'Brien. Pat, this is going to be quite a game. Let's explain the challenge that they've got in front of them with this one.
Thanks for having me on again, once again, Steve. Boy, I've been looking at the numbers all week regarding Southern Columbia. Southern Columbia is going for their 51st straight regular season win. Actually, this streak of 50 straight wins.
Well, you saw the last one. You saw the last loss.
Yep. I'm telling you, Steve. I struggle with what Southern Columbia has been able to do, and I laugh with Derek Hicks because I'm just a broadcaster, and I struggle with looking at the numbers. But back in 2009. Sealands Grove was able to beat this Southern Columbia, a game they led 35-14 going in the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left. Southern made a run at them. Final score was 35-28 in 2009, but Southern's owned them over the years. And really, the last 2 years, seven-point game, 28-21 win for Southern at Southern. That was 2 years ago. Last year was a 21-14 win for Southern. So, you know, Sealands Grove's been in those games. It's just those crucial stops they need to make on third downs, get the ball back. This very easily could be a 35-34 type game, and with Sealands Grove needing to throw the ball well, as they have done over the last 4 weeks, and trying to stop this powerful running game of Southern Columbia that just continues to roll them out year in and year out. And they're doing it with a freshman, 1,112 yards, Gage Garcia, and also a sophomore quarterback with Stone Hollenbach. So they said they were reloading. Boy, they sure did, and they are undefeated, and they are a big challenge for Sealands Grove.
How many can they stack in the box against this offense?
They can't stack everybody like you'd want to. They have a freshman wide receiver, 18 catches, 478 yards, 6 touchdowns for Southern, Julian Fleming, 6'1", 170-pound freshman. And I talked to Derek yesterday in the interview, and he said he's probably one of the best wide receivers he's seen in a long time, and that's saying an awful lot as a freshman coming in and putting up those kind of numbers, which is unusual for Southern. Southern usually doesn't throw it all over the place, but when they add that element to it, it doesn't allow you to stack the box and try to stop their freshman running back. You really have to respect the pass. Stone Hollenbach has 13 touchdowns, only 3 picks on the season, and over 1,200 yards passing. So what a balanced offensive attack, and really puts a strain on you defensively.
Okay, give me 3 bullet points that if it happened, Sealands Grove wins.
Logan Livey throws for a whole bunch of yards. The weather, what is it going to be? It looks like it's going to be a little better than what they said earlier in the week with some wind. So I think he's going to have to throw it around an awful lot. Really try to expose the defensive backs for Southern. Can they D up 4 or 5 wide receivers and a tight end like Tony Dressler? That's going to be the big thing. The other is they got to get the ball back, and they have to have it in the offensive side. They can't allow Southern to be big play or allow them to go on 11, 12 play drives. The other thing, Steve, and I make a big bullet point here, is they have to make the tackle when they make an initial contact. Southern is just amazing at bouncing off defenders and getting that extra yards and picking up that first down and moving the chain. So if they can do those things, you know, they might be able to come out with a win. I'm feeling good about what Sealands Grove been able to do. So it'll be great. It'll be a great place to be, and I can't wait to do it for the 8th time, a Southern Sealands Grove game here on Eagle 107.
That'll be great. That'll be tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, the kickoff with Brian Brandt. Pat, thanks as always.
All right, Steve, thank you very much.
All right, Pat O'Brien with us. All right, Greg joins us in studio. Lewisburg is going to be in action with Mifflinburg. It's the Little Brown Jug game. Greg, just on the emotion, what does this game mean on emotion?
On emotion, it means a lot to both communities. You look at the communities, they're 10 miles apart, 9 miles apart. They have the Little Brown Jug game, like you say, and it used to be just football. Back when I was in school, it used to be just football. Now it incorporates all sports. So they give the Little Brown Jug out at halftime, who had the most dominating performance against the other school the year before, you know, at halftime. There's a bonfire tonight in Lewisburg to get ready for the game. So the community's involved in the game, and I'm sure the same thing's going on at Mifflinburg.
Yeah. All right, level of play now. When you look at Lewisburg the last 2 weeks, what are some things you like and a couple things that concern you?
The running attack for Lewisburg last week in the second half against Bloomsburg really came to life. They put a kid in that started the year at running back, fumbled the ball about five or six times in the first three games, and he's kind of been in the bench since then, not played defense but not offense. He came in last week in the second half against Bloomsburg, rushed for over 70 yards. So that's a positive. The line blocked well that game. They had nine first downs in the second half. They had some sustained drives to keep the ball away from the athletes on Bloomsburg. So that's a positive. The negative is the level of competition. Is Bloomsburg as good as Mifflinburg, you know?
Right.
And when I say that, I don't mean a negative against Bloomsburg. It's just that Bloomsburg's defensive line averaged about 180 pounds in person. Mifflinburg's defensive line is going to average about 240.
Okay.
They're bigger. They're also seniors. You know, there's a lot of seniors playing on the offense and defensive line at Mifflinburg. So that's going to be the key to the game if they can control it.
All right. So you talk about that being the key to the game. So give me, again, same thing, three bullet points that swing it one way or the other in this game.
Turnovers. I think turnovers will be huge.
Always. Yep.
The other thing, I think if Lewisburg can force Mifflinburg to pass, they're only averaging 86 yards a game passing. So
right.
they can get them into passing. And again, Lewisburg's rushing attack. If Lewisburg rushes for over 100 yards in the game, I think they win the game.
Wow. So 100 would do it. That's interesting.
Well, if you look at the statistics for both teams, we're not looking at a lot of offense.
Right.
Mifflinburg averages 86 yards a game passing, 158 yards rushing.
Right.
It's going to be a defensive struggle, and I really think the first score is really important in this game tomorrow night.
That'll be on the Valley 100.9 at 6:30 with a 7 o'clock kick. Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So that's the lineup we have for you coming up tomorrow night. And once again, it'll be Shikellamy playing on the road. They're going to play at Milton tomorrow night. News Radio 1070 WKOK for Shikellamy and the Milton broadcast on Talk Radio 1380 WMLP. Sealands Grove at Southern Columbia on Eagle 107. And Mifflinburg at Lewisburg for the Little Brown Jug on the Valley 100.9. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Next hour, we'll include our football picks for the week. And our thanks to all of our announcers. What a great job all of them have done all season long. I mean, they have been terrific. One fabulous broadcast after another. The results may not have gone the way everyone hoped they would for their respective teams, but the broadcasts have gone the way we hoped they would. They were outstanding all season.
Yeah, and you can go to our high school scoreboard page at WKOK.com, and you'll see links to all four streams. So while you're out and about tomorrow night, or just want to hunker down and catch a whole night of football, you can choose the game you want, listen to all four, or listen to your favorite team. Of course, we'll post the scores all night long, and then I'll be over on Eagle 107 tomorrow night for game night.
That's right. Sean has the best post-game show going, and that's on Eagle 107. So enjoy that. It'll get you up to date on all the high school football across the areas. Now we're making the turn after this into the playoffs. Into the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah, Lewisburg-Mifflinburg, winner of that tomorrow night not only gets the jug, but also will make their way into the District 4 AAA playoffs next week.
So it's a playoff game unto itself.
Yes.
It'll be a lot of stakes are even higher. That's good.
For once, the jug has a little more ramifications on the line.
Yeah.
So that'll add to the tension at Christie tomorrow night. It'll be fun.
No problem. Yep. All right. Next half hour, phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565. World Series, the Cubs did win last night. It's a travel day. Now they go to Chicago to play at Wrigley. It's going to be a little bit of a difference. The one thing we haven't seen out of the Cubs is the long ball. Might see that starting tomorrow night for a couple reasons. Tomlin is a guy you can hit home runs off of, but number two, the weather is going to be different. It's not going to be in the low 40s where that cold air knocks down fly balls. It's going to be a little bit warmer in Chicago on Friday night and on Saturday.
And we now know they're going to play at least three games at Wrigley Field because the series is tied at one game apiece. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.